Radio. This is Money Talks. I'm Gene Edwards, along with Chris Burford, the Program Manager for Consumer Credit Counseling Service at Jackson, and Dr. Nancy Lotridge Anderson, Finance Instructor at Mississippi College, and the President of New Perspectives Incorporated, an investment management firm. We're going to be happy to take all of your calls on any financial question you might have. What's the story on your debt? We'll be here to help today. It's 1-877-MPB-RING, 1-877-672-7464. We're also today going to talk to an HDTV expert about the DTV transition, which has already begun here in Mississippi. So the phone lines are open right now, 1-877-MPB-RING. We will talk with you and answer your money questions right after this news break from NPR.
Listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. To call the show, dial 1-877-MPB-RING, 877-672-7464, or email money at mpbonline.org. Think Radio, Mississippi Public Broadcasting.
And welcome back. It is Money Talks and MPB Think Radio. I'm Gene Edwards, along with Chris Burford, the Program Manager for the Consumer Credit Counseling Service of Jackson, and Dr. Nancy Lotridge-Anderson.
Oh, thanks, Gene.
Finance instructor at Mississippi College. Well, we're proud of you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Finally, it's been a long, hard road.
And how long did it take?
And about 5 years, and thanks to the folks at Mississippi State University, Dr. Barbara Spencer, head of graduate studies, who let me come in a part-time status so I could continue with my business. And special thanks to Dr. Mike Highfield, who was my dissertation chair, and all my committee members who dragged me through the process.
And your dissertation was in?
It was on mutual funds, three essay style on mutual funds.
So we'll be happy to take mutual funds questions
today. Sure.
And lots of other questions. But before we do all of that, we want to involve another special guest in this program. Let us say good morning and welcome to Joe Kane, who is an expert on the HDTV and the DTV transition, and also has some pretty good ideas about helping you make sure that the DTV or HDTV set that you're going to buy, because everybody's got to buy one, I guess.
Well, that's what my husband tells me.
Is going to get the picture in the right way. Hi there, Joe. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
Welcome in. What's the name of your company?
The name of the company is Joe Kane Productions. And our business has been centered on image quality and electronic displays since about 1982.
And isn't that what HD is all about?
That is definitely what HDTV is all about, and the image quality in it can be spectacular.
When does the transition happen, and why is it happening?
Well, the transition that you're speaking of is all the full-power TV stations that are now broadcasting an analog signal will go off the air late in the day on the 17th of February. So by the 18th of February of 2009, the majority of stations broadcasting in analog will no longer provide the standard definition television signal. Everything from that point forward will be digital.
Why?
The reason for going to digital is it's far more efficient than analog. And it is the only way that we could make a transition from standard definition to high definition. The analog system in the bandwidth allocated for each channel wouldn't support the high definition system.
So let's take, for example, the NBC station here in Jackson, which is WLBT. They're on channel 3. What's going to happen to that channel?
I'm going to look that up for you. Let me do
or
something general until I get that okay. Information in front of me. But what's going to happen generally is that stations have been broadcasting in digital, some stations, since 1998. And so they've been broadcasting in both digital and analog. And what happens is that either they give up their analog channel or they give up their digital channel, but they're going to go back to one channel. And then that will they'll be broadcasting digital, and they'll be broadcasting from a single channel. So right now, everybody is it's broadcasting in two different stations.
And one of them will go away.
Yeah, and one of them will go away.
And when it goes away, where will it go?
If everything comes out right, the FCC is going to be selling the bandwidth to other purposes. Originally, the sale price of this was going to be so high that they were going to be able to just do away with the entire budget deficit that we have. But I'm not quite sure that that's going to happen anymore.
Well, it would have been a tremendous amount of money. I know, while you're looking up things, can I give you one other to look up?
Certainly.
All right. Our own television station here in Jackson, our public television station, is WMPN. It's Channel 29.
Channel 29. The DTV channel for Channel 29 is Channel 20. And so Channel 29 will become Channel 20 permanently as of the transition. Right now, you are broadcasting digital on Channel 20.
Right.
And the digital will stay at Channel 20.
And what's happening here is that in order to save a tremendous amount of money, they're beginning the transition earlier. So people who receive Channel 29 over the air have, for the most part, are no longer able to receive it because they've decreased the power so much. So
they're already starting the transition.
Right.
I would just say I don't like this. I don't like the change. I mean, I have my channels all set, and now you guys are just throwing a wrench into things.
Well, and I don't want to cast aspersions on how the transition isn't going to be as easy as someone would like. As an example, Channel 40 in Jackson, and I'm just picking on numbers now, they right now are, their digital channel is Channel 41. On the transition date, their digital channel will become Channel 40. In other words, the analog channel will shut off, and it will become the digital channel, and you won't be tuning Channel 41 anymore for if you have digital television right now, you would be looking at the digital signal on Channel 41 come the 17th of February or the 18th of February. You'll actually be tuning back to Channel 40. Now, you would
it's going to be a mess.
You would let's just hope it doesn't. NBC affiliate.
Yes.
And that was Channel
3.
Channel number for the affiliate, NBC affiliate.
Right.
You would ask, what was the channel number?
I think it's 3, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
All right. 3, oh, you'll love this. Channel 3 is the current analog station, and Channel 51 is their current digital station.
Oh, no.
Well, it's the new station number is going to be Channel 7.
Which is going to be even more complicated because presently on the cable channels, that's the channel for the public television station.
Well, it's the cable system's responsibility to handle all of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually going to be easier if you're watching cable because they're going to be responsible for all this channel scramble. Right now, they are certainly converting the public broadcasting station to Channel 7, and they may continue to do that, and wherever they may have NBC at Channel 3. And so they would end up being responsible for converting Channel 7 to Channel 3 so that NBC would stay put on their cable system.
Okay, so just a quick question then about what your DVD does. As I understand it, when you go into one of these stores to buy a new HDTV, the picture is often not calibrated correctly for your home. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. And the reason for that is the TV set manufacturers have to compete with each other. And if every single set were set up properly, when you went into the store, every single set would look the same. And it would be really difficult for consumers to pick one set over another if they all looked exactly the same. In reality, they should look exactly the same, because in our communication system, the idea is that our TV set at home matches the set at the production center where the program was created. That way we would see exactly what was intended to be seen and would be part of our mass communication system.
So what does your DVD do?
Well, it, first of all, the high-definition DVD that's currently on the market actually explains all of that. And the standard definition disc does as well. What we try to do is let consumers know that sets on the showroom floor aren't set up properly to get the kind of picture that was intended by the broadcasters. So what we're suggesting is that the set at home, the brightness, contrast, and color at least, needs to be adjusted and set up properly. And we provide test patterns and instructions on how to use those test patterns so that the consumer can readjust their set at home and make it look more like it is supposed to look.
Just like the old test patterns used to be, that you never get to see anymore.
Yeah, when the broadcasters used to care enough to broadcast test patterns every day so that maybe you had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to see the test patterns. But, yes, they broadcast at least something to give you an idea of what you needed to do to set the set up properly.
Quickly in wrapping up here, can I do this myself? I mean, Nancy, bless her heart, is married to a guy who's an expert
goodness.
In all this stuff.
So Nancy's husband is going to take care of
that. Absolutely, because I'm clueless.
But Chris and I are just idiots.
Yeah,
and so could we learn how to do this? Can we set up our own HD sets in our homes?
I would certainly like to believe yes, and that's the reason I brought the product on the market, because I want everybody to be able to do this. I want everybody to be able to set things up. There are certainly going to be exceptions because manufacturers sometimes make it difficult to actually set things up. But with a lot of sets, it's fairly easy to do that setup. And
so,
I'd like to believe that you can.
Chris?
Yeah, let me. Like I said, I like to keep things very simple. And my wife usually deals with electronics around our house because I don't have the patience. But real quick, simple question here. You know, I've got a 5 or 6 year old Sony, and when all this changes, basically we're just looking at different channels. Am I correct in saying that?
Well, if this 5 or 6 year old set is an HDTV set, and if it has a off the air tuner, or you're hooked up to a cable system or a satellite system that provides true high definition signals, then you're probably all set. If that older set happens to be an analog-only TV set, then you're going to have to purchase a set-top box. And your PBS station has been broadcasting public service announcements telling you where to go get a coupon to buy the box
right. And
to make that older set work.
And what will the quality be like?
The quality will improve even on your older analog TV set, because the digital transmission system has the potential of being far better in its quality than anything we were able to transmit in the analog domain. And incidentally, that's the justification for the transition, that we're able to do a lot better with the given space for a channel in digital than we can in analog.
Joe, we want to thank you for your answers this morning. Joe Kane, HDTV expert, producer of Digital Video Essentials, HD Basics DVD, and you can find out more about it at his website, which is www.videoessentials.com. Joe Kane, thanks again.
Thank you.
We're going to come back and talk to all of you, answer your questions about how to choose a financial advisor, how to choose a money market, what to do with your tax rebate, all those questions and more ahead. This is Money Talks on MPB Think Radio.
Bye. I'm Faith Saley, host of PRI's Fair Game. On Fair Game, we take the news and try to get it to sit down so we can punch it in the face. The show also features newsmaker and celebrity interviews, live music, and regular appearances by the country's best comedians. Think of it as a variety show for the highest common denominator. Fair Game, where everything is our plaything. Weeknights at 10 right here on MPB, Mississippi Public Broadcasting.
You're listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. To call the show, dial 1-877-MPB-RING, 877-672-7464, or email money at mpbonline.org. Think Radio, Mississippi Public Broadcasting.
So welcome back. It is Money Talks at MPB Think Radio with Chris Burford, the Program Manager for Consumer Credit Counseling Service of Jackson, Nancy Lotbridge Anderson, Dr. Anderson, a finance instructor at Mississippi College and president of New Perspectives Incorporated. We are going to do an open line day today, so whatever it is that's on your financial mind, we're here to help answer today. And our phone number is 1-877-MPB-RING. That's 1-877-672-7464. One of the questions we didn't get to ask Joe was, how much is this going to cost us? I guess it's just kind of dependent upon what you want to spend. Those converter boxes are about $40.
That's what I've heard, $40 to $50, and I think that's all the cost you've got into it, and then just setting it up. So I'll let my wife do that.
You'll let your husband do that.
Yes.
And I'll just hope the cable company does it. So anyway, I'm sure that we're going to talk a lot more about all of this as we get closer to that conversion date, which is in February of next year. Right now, let's go to Robert, who's been holding on in Hattiesburg. Hi, Robert. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my question.
Oh, you're welcome.
I have a question for Dr. Anderson, and that is, how does one go about selecting a competent investment advisor?
Well, I think there are several questions you need to ask people. You need to interview some people, and you can check with friends and family, ask them who do they use. That's a good starting place. And when you go in and talk to someone, normally they will not charge you just to sit down and do a basic interview of them, where you just meet them, ask them some questions, find out how they conduct their business. I think it's important that you feel comfortable with that person, that you look them in the eye, and you feel that you can trust them with your most intimate details of your financial life. But the big question is, how are you paid? And there are three different ways that financial advisors are paid. They can be paid strictly by commission. They can be fee-based, which means a fee plus some commission, or they can be fee-only, which is strictly a fee and no commission products to it. It's fine whichever you go with, as long as you understand what you're getting into. If you're dealing with a commission person, the problem that comes up with that is that each product has a different commission structure. And as long as you know what those are, that's fine. You can make informed decisions. But most people are not aware. I have more people who come into my office, and I'll ask them when they have mutual funds, what did you pay for this? And they'll say, well, nothing. And I say, surely you don't think this guy did this for free. So it's important to find out how are they paid, and then talk to them personally, find out their investment philosophies, try to get some references from them. Most advisors have two or three clients they work with who are willing to talk to other potential clients, and ask them not only about performance, but communications. Do they keep in contact with you? Do they monitor the accounts? What are the things that they do for you? And the biggest thing is, do you trust that person? Do you feel comfortable with them, with their advice, and with their ability to keep your information confidential?
All righty. Thank you.
Thanks. All right.
Thanks, Robert. We appreciate your call. I would think that this trust issue is really important. And then how long should the relationship be? I mean, if you're getting hooked up with a financial advisor, is this a lifetime deal?
Well, it's generally long term. Yeah. I have clients I've worked with for 20 years, and you hope that if you have a good relationship, they will stay with you, because we all generally need financial advice our entire lives. So if you find that person that you feel comfortable with, I think for most people, what they end up doing is they just find whoever's convenient, and then they stay with that person even though they're not happy. So you need to really look at the situation and say, is this person really giving me the help that I need? Are they saving me money with some of their advice on investments and tax issues? Are they building returns based on the investments that they put me in? And if you're not happy, look for somebody else. But the problem is most people are very uncomfortable making that change if they're unhappy. And it usually takes a big event for them to change.
A major loss.
Yes.
Or something like that. And I'm not asking specifically about yours, but mm-hmm. can you give me an idea of what these fees might be, where they might?
Well, if you're dealing with commissions,
not commissions, but
just fee only.
Fee only.
If it's fee only, it can be anywhere generally from 0.75% up to maybe 2%. Sometimes you'll even see as high as 3% on a fee only situation. Average is about 1%.
1% of
your assets that they manage for you per year. Which means the bigger your account gets, the bigger their fee gets.
The more you pay.
Absolutely.
And I guess I'll throw my two cents. And I know, Nancy, you know, we're talking about this. It's long-term planning, really,
right.
A lot of what you're saying and making that commitment. And I guess I'm in my early 40s, but I'm seeing more people, I guess with the information that's available out there, internet-wise. But what I keep crossing people is they keep saying, well, I need to start thinking about down the road a little bit more, not a whole bunch, but a little bit more. So, you know, I know it's very much long-term planning thinking. So,
and let me also just say that for some people, especially if you're young, you're just starting out, or you just need help, for instance, on an employer retirement plan, maybe what you need to do is find someone who will charge you by the hour. And in that situation, it could be anywhere from $75 to $200 an hour. And it's worth it for you to talk to an expert and get some good choices up front.
Our phone number here is 1-877-MPB-RING, 1-877-MPB-RING, 877-672-7464. Chris Burford and Dr. Nancy Lotridge-Anderson are here.
You don't have to say that every time.
I have to say it every time. Because we're proud of you.
Well, thanks.
If you have a financial question of any kind, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to help you with your debt questions, too. The number is 1-877-MPB-RING, or you can email us at money@mpbonline.org, money@mpbonline.org. I've also got to think that overcoming the fear of being judged would be
yes,
one of the most difficult.
Yes, that happens a lot. When people come into my office, it's amazing how they'll sit down and they'll say, this is the worst you've ever seen, I'm sure. And I always have to laugh because I know it's not. and we always say in my office that our job is not to judge someone on what they've done to that point. Our job is to help them untangle whatever financial mess they've gotten themselves into, help get them on the road, and help them get where they want to go.
And Chris, that's what your place does,
yeah,
too. Right?
On our side, you know, it's that's what we do. We like to say, well, you're going to hear me say it a million times. We put a budget together, we start looking at debt, and we start putting a plan together, set some goals, and try to help them move more toward the, you know, getting out of debt, but putting controls in place and setting those goals and being committed. They've got to take ownership of it. And yeah, we'd love to see people move forward getting out of debt and then long-term investing and things start, you know, long-term wise, they pay off, you know, see the payoffs of all their work. So, but we don't judge. You're right. I'm going back to that. Yeah. We're open arms and say, come see us, please.
So. Our number again is 1-877-MPB-RING at Mississippi Public Broadcasting. It's Money Talks, our regular Tuesday morning get-together. Let's talk a little bit about these tax rebate checks that are about to be out here in the mail. I heard an interesting use for them this morning that the Kroger company is going to do. Did you hear about that?
I hadn't heard.
Really
mm-hmm.
fascinating. Kroger company says, look, you bring your rebate check into us and turn it over to us, and in turn, if your rebate check is $300, we'll give you 10% more in coupons for groceries. In
well,
other words, gift cards.
All the retailers
so
are going after the rebate
$330
money. Yes.
That, worth of groceries that you'd get in return.
I'd have to, you know.
Pretty creative.
You know, before you cash that check or think, sit down and think, where can it really help me? And, you know, a lot of from people say spend it on groceries, retail stores, or like all these incentives. But, you know, if I'm going to go back, put that budget together, see what I've got. If you're going to tax some debt, fine. I mean, get that off your back. Because like I said, I'm human just like everybody else. When you've paid off a doctor bill or something like that, you feel good about it, you know, example. And we're going to say address the debt. If you got credit card debt, get that off your back and say, I'm committed not to get back in, you know, into credit cards. Or if you do use a credit card, just make sure you can pay it off in the first 2 or 3 months. But get that debt off. Get that debt off.
And I have a second question for you. You talked on this program last week about the way that counseling services work with credit card companies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do counseling services also do that with doctors?
Some of them will work with doctors. You know, most of the time with the doctors, it's a no interest. You know, they don't charge interest on it. But I'm seeing what we're seeing is more medical servicers, and that's doctors, hospitals, whatever. They're giving you maybe 6 to 9 months to pay them off. Then after that, they're being transferred out to a collection agency. And they usually don't. I'm not seeing any fees or interest there. So,
Chris, but correct me if I'm wrong, because I believe on your credit report, you do, they give you some slack for health bills that are sitting out there. Is that correct?
When it goes to a, when you say health at a doctor or hospital, maybe it's not on the credit report. What we're seeing, though, when they transfer them out to a collection company,
then it shows up.
It shows up. And it's, and instead of people, you know, being able to pay it out 2 or 3 years now, they're putting it with a collection company trying to get their money and their receivables.
But let me ask you the question that somebody at the grocery store asked me to ask you.
Sure.
They said that, you know, that when you go to the doctor and the doctor sends the statement to the insurance company often reduces what they will pay for a specific service.
Right.
They have an arrangement with the doctor. Well, let's say, for example, you go to the doctor's office and the insurance company doesn't pay at all. The insurance company says what the doctor did for you is something that we don't cover under your policy. Do you have the right to call the doctor and say, I'd like to negotiate just like the insurance company?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they'll say that everything's negotiable, but I get back with the doctor and say, look, my insurance company will not cover this. Let me show you. Hey, I need some help. Let's see if we negotiate this down. I'm not going to say everybody. All doctors will work with you, but I think they'd be open to listen because they're seeing this.
Give it a try. All
sure.
Right. Here's Mike in Pass Christiane. Hi, Mike. Thanks for holding.
Hey, thank you very much.
Welcome in.
Thank you. My question is, I recently purchased about $5,000 in CDs from my local bank, and the interest rate was 5.1 with an APY of 5.2, and it was a 9-month one-time penalty-free withdrawal. And so when it came time to renew our CDs for another 9 months, if we wanted to in the same setup, we didn't actually get the 5% return rate on it. And the lady we talked to at the local bank said she didn't have the calculation. She couldn't figure it out, but it was adjusted by a daily percentage rate. And I'm just wondering, and I asked two separate bank people, I said, so I'll get 5% return at the end of 9 months, and they said yes, yes, yes. But when it came down to it, I didn't get 5%.
Mike, I think you're going to have to go back and look at your contract. A CD is a debt contract, and so there must be something in there that is allowing them to adjust that. You're going to have to read through the fine print, because I'm afraid that has happened to you is the fine print is getting you, and you're getting caught in a situation of declining short-term rates, and they're taking advantage of it.
Okay. Well, I pulled my $5,000 out because I was upset. So do you have any really safe recommendations that I could pull out when needed but would still bring in a pretty decent return rate?
Well, actually, a client of mine called me this week telling me about a local bank around here that's offering something. And, of course, it's another situation where this is what we're offering right now, but there's a little asterisk that says they can adjust at any time. But Merchants and Farmers Bank is offering a checking account with 5.25% interest. And there are some stipulations on there about doing all of your banking online, about having your checks deposited electronically, but most people do all that anyway. So look for that. Some of your smaller local banks are offering these teaser rates. They may not stay around forever, but it would be an option for right now until we start to see some bump ups in short-term rates, which we have seen lately.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks. We appreciate your call. We've got callers on the line from Mobile and Brookhaven, and emails coming in, too. We are doing general financial questions today with Nancy and Chris, and I'm Gene Edwards, and Money Talks continues on MPB Think Radio. I'm Gene Edwards for MPB.
And I'm Dr. Rick DeShazo. Gene, I know we spend a lot of time poking fun at each other on this program, and maybe sometimes we have it coming.
Some of us do have it coming, but we know that your health is no laughing matter. It's something you take very seriously, and that's why we're here.
We appreciate the trust you place in us for reliable information about health and medicine, and we hope you'll join us on the next Southern Remedy.
Wednesday morning at 9 on MPB.
Hi, I'm Michelle Martin. Tell me more. That's the name of my new interview show, and seriously, I want to know more. And I know you do, too, about news and events, about people and ideas. I want to hear the whole story from many different perspectives. I want to have the difficult conversations, and I want to hear the truth. Tell me more from NPR News.
9 p.m. on MPB, Mississippi Public Broadcasting.
Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. I'm Gene Edwards with Nancy Lockridge Anderson and Chris Burford. Today we are talking about your financial questions, and you can call us at 1-877-MPB-RING. That's 1-877-672-7464. That's what Marilyn did all the way from Mobile, Alabama. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, good morning.
Welcome in here.
Thank you. I have a question that I have about $55,000 in an E-Trade portfolio with about six stocks, and it's been very volatile. And I'd like to get out of that into something that isn't quite so volatile, but I don't want to take a huge tax hit if I sell all my portfolio. What can you suggest that I would do with that money? Is there any way to roll it over into an IRA or anything?
Marilyn, I'm assuming this is just a taxable account, not a retirement account.
Yeah, and I'm 65.
You're 65.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to do anything with that. You need to look carefully at what are your gains and losses that you have incurred on those six stocks so far. And you may pick and choose. You may want to cash out of some of them and leave others and let them trail over into 2009. I think you're going to see a little bit of a different picture by the end of the year anyway as far as the stock market. So you don't have to pull the trigger all at once on everything. If you decide you want to go to something less volatile, I would suggest just looking at some good mutual funds, you know, maybe three to five good mutual funds aiming at different parts of the market. And you won't have quite the volatility that you will have with just a handful of individual stocks.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Marilyn, thanks. What would the tax hit be on a $55,000 account?
Well, it depends on what she bought the stocks for. So whatever she bought the stocks for, if you bought 100 shares of a stock and you paid $1,000 for it and you sell it for $2,000, then that's a $1,000 capital gain. And your top tax rate on that will be 15%. So it's not terrible.
But if you bought 100 shares and for $1,000 and you sold it for $500.
Then you have a $500 loss. And your losses go against your gains first to wipe those out. And then if you have losses beyond that, up to $3,000 in 1 year, that can reduce your income. So it can help you on your income tax.
So she does her homework on what these stocks actually did over the past how many years?
Well, however long she owned it. If it's a capital gain, to be a long-term capital gain and get the break, it has to be held for more than a year.
All right. Let's go to Brookhaven. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Yes, good morning, everybody.
Welcome.
Thank you. I received a call from a cousin of mine a few days ago, and he had a problem that he posed to me, and I wasn't sure what he might do about it. He was separated from his job recently and had some rollover monies, and he went to a brokerage outfit and was looking for a place to park them. He told them as part of his instruction package that he was interested in principal preservation. So he signed all the paperwork, and then about 3 months later, I think, he received a statement from them and found out that he had lost, his portfolio had lost about $12,000. So he went back to them and found out that he that they put him in some sort of a mutual fund. And the question is, he's interested in not remaining in that particular fund because it's losing money, and that wasn't part of the instructions that he gave them. The question is, can he reverse that rollover and redirect the money someplace else?
No, I'm sorry, he can't. He's going to find that it's one of those things. You've got to know what you're getting into, and you've got to know what you're signing. He needs to look at the mutual fund that he is in right now. Is it a commission fund? If it's a commission fund and it has it's a particular class, he may take penalties to actually cash out right now. So you have to look at it. Is it a commission fund? What's the commission structure? What will I have to pay in penalties just to get out of this thing? And he's just stuck. Now, we do have some laws in place that cover is this suitable? And it sounds to me like he has a situation like that where he could pursue the broker and say, you put me in something that was not suitable, was not based on what I asked. But that's very difficult to pursue. It's very difficult to go after and get your money back.
Hmm. Well, what agency or authority would he speak directly with the broker in order to pursue that avenue, or would he have to go to some independent?
Well, if he dealt with a commission broker, he needs to call the NASD.
Mm-hmm.
And he can find them online. If it's a registered investment advisor, he can talk to the SEC and find out what his options are. But again, it is very hard to go after someone based on suitability. And if your broker has gotten everything signed and on the dotted line, you're going to have a tough time. You better look at this as a lesson learned and look at what your options are in getting into something better.
Okay, so assuming he can't get out of it, then he can't reverse it, then what should he do? Should he just work with that broker to exit from that particular instrument and maybe go to a money market or something like
well,
that?
Well, I would suggest he find maybe an independent financial advisor, maybe a fee-only advisor, who can tell him exactly what he's got.
Okay.
Just pay them for their time to say, here's my statement. What is this thing that I've got? And get some advice on what that he will be facing as far as penalties, any deferred charges, or maybe it's just a fund that's down just because the market's down.
And the fund could be back up in the next
quarter. And it could be back
quarter.
Up in 6 months. So he needs some independent advice.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sam, we appreciate your call. Thank you. Let's go to Forrest. Claudia's on the air on Money Talks, and Chris and Nancy are here. And if you have a financial question, we're doing general questions and comments today at 1-877-MPB-RING. Hi, Claudia.
Hi. Thanks Welcome. For having me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, my husband and I are both very young, but we're wondering how to start saving for retirement. We're trying to tackle some debt right now, and we'll be through with that after the summertime, but we're wondering what's the best way to go if we don't have an employee plan with benefits, just like a 401k or anything.
Okay, Claudia, if you don't have a 401k, then you can still participate in IRA accounts. And you can do what's called a traditional IRA account, which it means the money you put in is a tax deduction and reduces your income in that year. So that really helps young couples out who need the tax break now. Or I would encourage you to look at a Roth IRA account, which means you don't get the tax break, but that money will grow not just tax deferred, but tax free. So when you take it out in retirement, you don't have to pay a penny on your income tax for that. It's a great plan for somebody young. You can do now up to $5,000 per year per person. So you can sock a lot away even if you don't have that employer plan. And remember, even if you step into a job with an employer plan, you can still do these IRAs on top of that depending on your income.
Yeah, and Claudia, you said earlier you said you're attacking this debt, and yeah, stay focused on that because if you're paying $200 or $300 on your debt each month, if you could take that money and roll it over into a retirement account as a young person and start really building off that, that'd be great. It'd be super.
It would be tremendous.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Claudia. We appreciate your call. Let's go to Water Valley. Hi, James.
Yes. You're talking to me, James?
Yes. Yes, James.
Oh, okay. Yes. I had a comment about the man who called about 10 minutes ago
right.
that had $5,000 in the CD at 5.1% APR.
Right.
And he was complaining that he didn't get 5% when he cashed it in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he said it was a 9-month CD.
He did.
Oh, okay. Then he'd get 3/4 of 5.1%.
Right. But I don't. Yeah. I assume that he was doing that calculation. I don't know he did. And it could be that there was some out for them to adjust that rate. I don't know.
Okay. No, I thought he was complaining that he didn't get his 5.1%.
I mean, that could be the problem.
Yeah, yeah,
you could have hit it on the head that he just did not realize that it was not a full year of interest that he was getting.
Right.
Right.
All right, James.
Okay. That was my comment.
Thanks, James.
Thank you.
And if you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. It's 1-877-MPB-RING, Mississippi Public Broadcasting Think Radio. Our show is Money Talks. And here's Sam in Arcola. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Welcome. What's your question?
Hi. Yes, I have a question that I call myself being very creative here, and I'm hoping I'm calling to see if there's something that might bite me because of this. But not long ago, my family, we had an expenditure where we had to use a fair amount of money to pay for this activity. And we had the money in the bank and probably could pay cash for it, but being creative, I decided to accept at least two of these zero interest offers for introductory offers for credit cards. And I pile the money in there, and you know, I can make minimum payments on that for a year before, if I understand correctly, the interest starts accumulating. And my basic question is just this, is there more to it than I probably understand? It seemed like a creative solution to manage, keep my money and gain interest on it while this, anyway.
It is, Sam, but the caution here is mark your calendar, because what these guys are counting on is that you will let it ride. And that's what we know. We as humans, we tend to just go with the status quo. We forget about things and we let it ride, and those high interest rates kick in. If you're good at paying attention to that and watching your calendar, you can play their game and you can swap from one zero interest to another zero interest. They are catching on to us a bit. And stopping some of that activity. But they're doing it and counting on you going to a higher rate later on.
Yes, Sam, you read the fine print, know exactly what you're signing. But also calculate out how long, if you're paying just the minimum, calculate out how long, even at 0% interest, how long is it going to take you to pay that money out? And my suggestion is, I know it's at 0%, but try to figure out, hey, can I pay this out in 12 months? If I can't, maybe you might take some money out of the savings and just clean it up. And then
exactly.
What you're paying each month in on this car, just start putting it back in savings. So
yes,
think about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My plan was to, the minute it goes off the zero interest, to pay the thing off, period. Hopefully, in the meantime, I've made some money on the money that I've been able to invest.
Sure.
Sam, do it the month before that zero interest disappears.
Right.
Don't get caught.
Very good. May I ask one final question?
Sure.
As far as financial help, people who do financial guidance for folks like us. I've always had the assumption that they have a motive for doing it. They always have a product, it seems, that they're trying to sell as well. I would love to get by that and find someone who could actually guide that has no ulterior motive. Are there such groups?
Yes, there are many fee-only people out there. I'm a fee-only person. There is a national organization that only deals with fee-only people. It's called, I believe, NAPFA. And
okay.
You can also talk to your CPA, because most CPAs are aware of that difference. They understand, and they usually know some fee-only people in the area, and they can direct you to them.
All right.
Well, Great. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Sam, we appreciate your call. Thank you. Thank you very much. Just one other quick note about credit cards. The Federal Reserve and two other banking regulators unveiled this week some of the most aggressive efforts in decades to crack down on the credit card industry, promoting practices like arbitrarily raising rates on outstanding balances, and all that's going to be worked out through the end of the year before these rules actually go into effect. But it's certainly worth taking a look at. You can go to the Washington Post website and read about some of these rule
changes. Well, there's one surefire way around that, though, Gene.
Just don't get it.
Pay those things off every month.
Absolutely. We have more questions ahead, and we'll be back on Money Talks right after this.
Hi, I'm Dick Gordon. I hope you'll join me for The Story. Story is a new national program from American Public Media. It's something of a return to public radio roots because it's a chance to hear from the people who are where the news is happening. It could be artists or soldiers, scientists, or people just out of prison. We're putting the story back into storytelling, and I think you'll like what you hear. I hope you'll listen. It's called The Story, and it's weeknights at 7 right here on MPB Mississippi Public Broadcasting.
Support for MPB comes from contributions to the Foundation for Public Broadcasting in Mississippi and from listeners like you. Thank you.
You're listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. To call the show, dial 1-877-MPB-RING, 877-672-7464, or email money at mpbonline.org. Think Radio, Mississippi Public Broadcasting.
All right, we're back on Money Talks at MPB Think Radio, and we're doing general questions today for Chris Burford and Nancy Lottridge Anderson. Let's go to Starkville. Here is Sean on the line. Hi, Sean.
How you doing?
Welcome.
Quick question. I used to teach in Tennessee, and I taught there for 10 years and just moved to Mississippi teaching down here, and was wanting to know what I should do with my 10 years of teacher retirement in Tennessee.
Your 10 years of retirement, was it in a pension-type plan or a 401k plan?
It was a state pension plan.
Okay, and so is there going to be a monthly payout when you reach a certain age?
Yes.
All right, so you have that option, or you can roll it to another plan, is what you're saying?
That's what I wanted to know. Can
okay.
I take that out?
You need to contact Tennessee. And you need to find out what your options are. They may not let you roll it over. You may be stuck with waiting for that monthly payout. So find out from Tennessee first. You can call the personnel board in Tennessee. And then you need to call Mississippi's personnel board because Mississippi has two different plans. They have PERS, which is what we think of as a pension, and they have deferred compensation, which is the 401k plan. So find out if they will accept money from a previous employer. Many plans will let you do that so you can consolidate your money, and it's easier to manage and keep up with.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
Sean. We appreciate your call. And let's go to Josh in Jackson. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Buenos dias. I'm doing excellent. How are you?
Great. Go ahead.
I had a question. It's really kind of a two-part question. I just want to know the options for retirement savings for a small business owner, small as in one person right now, but looking to grow. How those options change as employees are added, and also if the profits from the business can be rolled over into assets, for example, offices or things that I would use that would grow in value that might could be leased out, is another venue for savings or building wealth long term.
Now, the business asset part, that's getting a little shady there. I'm not sure you can do that. But what you do need to do is start your own company retirement plan. And if you're just one person, you start with a SEP, a Simplified Employee Pension Plan, which allows you to put up to 25% of your income into that retirement plan. I think it's up to around $45,000 a year, somewhere in there. So that's a lot of money you can sock away. As you add employees, then you get into the bind of whatever percentage you put aside for yourself, you have to put the same percentage aside for them. You may consider converting to what's called a simple plan, which is a salary deferral plan. So they have to choose to participate or not participate and take money out of their salary. So start with the SIP. And as you add employees, you can go to a simple plan.
But those are salaried employees. If you have contract employees, you don't have to do that.
Well, it's only if they're officially listed as employees that you have to do that.
All right.
Now, who manages the SIP or the simple plan?
Well, any financial advisor or broker could set that up for you. You could do it yourself if you were comfortable with doing that. You can go to a discount broker like a Schwab or an E-Trade or TD Ameritrade, or you can go to a brokerage house and get them to help you with the forms. It's really not that difficult.
Okay, and the other part of the question, I may have just not been clear on it as far as, you know, there's things that are obviously necessary to have as a business. I'm saying rather than lease an office for someone, I'm saying use some of the assets of the business to build an office for myself and possibly lease out part of it.
Okay, I get you. The only caution I would say to you about that, and my husband and I have both been self-employed for many years, and it's always the topic of conversation, be cautious about becoming a landlord if that's not your main business. Because you may locate your business and build a building somewhere, and 6 years later, it's not in a good spot, and you really need to move your business. So you need to concentrate on what your main business is. Is it being in real estate, or is it being, for me, a financial advisor? And that's where I landed, that it was better for me to rent, because then I had the option of moving at any time that I needed to get to a better location.
Right.
Okay, Josh, thanks.
Okay, great.
We appreciate your call. Thank you. Let's go to New Orleans. Hi, Nancy. Thanks for waiting.
Hi.
You're going to need to turn down your radio now, okay?
My radio is, now it's off.
Okay, great. Go right ahead.
What I wanted to know is I've just inherited some money, and I don't know anything. Like, if there's a book for financial advice for dummies or something.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to give you our address, and you can just mail it to us.
And we have a trip planned, right? No. No, Nancy. There are many books out there, and I would suggest going to your local bookstore. There are all kinds of books available that teach you about – you probably need to start with mutual funds and look at your options there. There's one great book. I don't know if it's still in circulation, but you can certainly find it on Amazon in a used situation, and that's Bogle on Mutual Funds. That will teach you how mutual funds work. But that's how you need to aim with that money, and maybe find an advisor or broker in your area who can help you make those selections.
All right. Nancy, thanks. We appreciate your call. From Keith, an email, you mentioned John Bogle. He says, John Bogle says index funds are what most investors should be interested in. What's the difference between an index fund and an exchange-traded fund?
They're very similar, except they in the way that they function. We have what's called open-end funds and closed-end funds, and you brought up that question last week, Gene. And an index fund that's an open-end fund, the money can flow in and out of that. You're going to deal directly with the mutual fund company on buying and selling shares. An ETF is an exchange-traded fund that, again, it is imitating an index. It is tracking this group of stocks that whichever index that you're tracking. It could be the S&P 500. It could be an index that's tracking a particular country like Malaysia. But you need to find which one you want to use, and then you just look at their expenses. And those ETFs trade like stocks.
All right. It's been a fascinating morning.
I've learned a lot.
Thank both of you. If we didn't get to your call out there, I'm sorry. We'll try to do it again next time, and we'll do some more of these open line programs to give you more chances to ask all of your varied financial questions. And once again, we congratulate you, Dr. Anderson.
Thanks, Gene.
Money Talks is a production of MPB Think Radio. It's funded in part by the Foundation for Public Broadcasting in Mississippi and listeners like you. Our call screener is Kevin Farrell. Our producer is Ezra Wall. For Dr., not Nancy Lockridge Anderson.
You can stop already.
I'm going to keep saying it. And Chris Burford. I'm Gene Edwards. Be sure to join us tomorrow morning at 9. Dr. Rick will be here. We'll do Southern Remedy. We're going to talk about women's mental health tomorrow morning. So join us. next Tuesday morning, too, when we'll be back for another edition of Money Talks on MPB Think Radio.